Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Here comes pitch number 10. And a swing and a ball well hit. Deep left field. Dominguez back looking up. It's gone! A home run for Bobby Witt Jr. on the 10th pitch he sees. 1-0 Royals here in the third inning. Bobby's second homer on the year. His second career homer against the Yankees. And the Royals have an early margin 1-0.
And that's your Royals conversation for the day.
That's it right there. It's tax day. Pay those bills.
That's all you need to know.
I think that was the only hit they got in the game, right?
Nah, they had another one.
Oh, did they have one later on?
They had one or two in like the eighth or ninth inning.
Yeah, too late at that point, right?
I mean, when you give up four home runs, they're like, well, at least they're only solo.
Yeah, right.
Like, well, when there's four of them,
that's sure a grand slam.
Yeah, sure feels more than just one each.
Oh, well. Move on to today.
Yeah, I noticed quite a bit of things last night. One, it's still entirely too early to have any sort of this team sucks, season's over. I'm not anywhere remotely close to that, but I did realize that that is some of the messages. Two, everybody found out who the hitting coach was last night on Twitter.
I wouldn't have known 24 hours ago who the hitter coach was until they said it last night during a game. They showed that guy on the screen, and I'm like, oh, he must be the hitter coach. And I was like, okay, good for him.
We're officially in fire hitting coach season.
Oh, is that where we are now? Yeah. Okay. You mean off a playoff team from a year ago? We're firing the hitting coach 15 days into the season?
Yeah, Alex Zumwalt is the number one man of wanted outside of, like, I don't know if he's surpassed MJ and Hunter Renfro yet, but it's damn close after last night.
The hitting coach really has no impact on anything that takes place from these guys from an offensive standpoint.
And then I had a little bit of inner Fesco in me last night.
You turned the game off early and went to bed?
I went to the other room and turned something more entertaining on after I saw there's the pitch and gone. There's the other pitch and gone. And there's another one and gone. I was like, okay, I don't need to do this to myself tonight. Like, it just, you know,
sometimes you check out and it's fine.
Because I mean, it was just, it's one of those games where you're like, this Carrasco guy's terrible. He's been bad all year. And he one hits the Royals. And the only hit is Bobby Witt Jr. 10 pitch at bat home run,
right?
Which was awesome.
Great home run.
But like, their balls went out of the ballpark. Ours didn't.
Yeah. The Vinny Pasquantino one I thought was going. And then, you know, right there.
Oh, I was Mike Shannon. I was like, get up. Oh my God. 313.
I thought either that was gone or foul. I knew it was out of the ball. Oh, he caught it at the wall.
Yeah. That was the swing.
That sucks.
Yeah. As soon as he hit it, I'm like, fine.
God,
I was like, we're in New York. And I was like, damn it.
That's either going foul or go. Oh, it's caught. Oh, that's.
And yeah, I'm nowhere near anybody needs to lose their job. I'm nowhere near
this season is in shambles. Our pets' heads are falling off, but I am present and aware of the conversation that is had that this offense is bad.
Yeah.
And it's real bad right now.
Well, we know it is. I mean, they're looking at the run differential right now. It's minus 11. It's not great, but there's only one plus team in the American League Central right now in run differential, and that's the Detroit Tigers. And shockingly enough, they're in first place. And so, you know, you got to kind of look at what's going on. But the city, are people wanting people fired and things like that on April 15th? I mean, we've reached tax day, ladies and gentlemen, and we're a team that's coming off the postseason, and it's the 15th of April, and people are wanting guys fired. Like, I look at, you know, the firing of coaches all the time, and I think to myself, what difference are you really going to make with a hitting coach? We're talking about Major League Baseball players here, okay? We're not talking about little leaguers. We're not talking about high school kids or anything like that that need lessons on how to hit. The hitting coach is basically a sounding board for guys, right? They'll tell you all the time it's their counselor, right? It's their therapist. It's the guy that they can talk to, and that's what you have to be as a hitting
caddy.
Yeah, basically, yeah, you know, you could use that term as well. But they're not like a quote-unquote coach, if you will, where you're in there doing all these different drills and all this kind of stuff, and this is going to get you out of this slump. Baseball's a very hard game. It's probably the hardest thing to do, you know, hit a baseball. I would say the hardest thing to do in sports. I mean, you know, golf, you're hitting it off a tee. Football, you got, you know, your team around you. Basketball, you know, you go 50%, you're looked at as a hero. Baseball, you hit 30%. You have success 30% of the time, which means you fail 70% of the time. You're a Hall of Famer. The average Major League Baseball player is successful about 25, 24% of the time. And so when you have that kind of, you know, success, success rate, it's going to look bad if everybody's not producing in that lineup. But this, I mean, the hitting coach being fired, I mean, come on, get a life. I mean, seriously, like, we can't be living, you know, and I'm not speaking of we, I'm speaking of the we of collective, living and dying on every single baseball game. I mean, that if you're living and dying on every pitch right now in April, you ain't going to last till October with this team.
Right. I mean, I think the red flag, though, that is a for sure reason of concern is, you know, you'd mentioned yesterday that, like, the Salvador Perez might have been the spark. Okay,
yeah,
take that.
Right, yeah.
There's a win. You got some offense. Everybody seemed to produce. You had two guys get three hits. All right, team's rolling. Your next opportunity was Lugo versus Carrasco, where you thought to yourself, you just got to win one in New York, and this one seems like the one. Right? Now you're going to throw out there Waka today, which I am terrified of him in that ballpark. I'm just being an honest John here. I am terrified of the way Michael Waka has been pitching this year, and in that lot of fly ball outs, deep fly ball outs, that park doesn't hold. We know that. It's no secret. Yankee Stadium is a backyard baseball. Pablo Francisco, whoever his name is, Pablo Torre, out here hitting bombs anytime he comes up to bat. But that was a game, I think, why it, like, kind of was frustrating is because, you know, obviously we have people that think Lugo might have met his, you know, might have met his peak last year.
I'm one of them. I think a lot of these guys, you know, peaked last year.
Oh,
you know?
I don't know, Rob, he might be washed.
No, I'm not saying he's washed.
Yeah, no, I know.
But you're bringing guys back off of career years, asking them to do what they did and then some, and that's hard to do. You know, that's hard to do. I don't think they're washed by any means, but I don't think, are they all going to be in the Cy Young category this year? Probably not. Probably not.
So I think you looked at the pitching matchup of Lugo versus Carrasco. You looked at what that game was on Sunday, building momentum. Sal hits the home run. Let's get some offense going. And you had an opportunity. Of course, the game isn't played on paper, but when you look at that matchup and you think of how baseball is, you're like, okay, we should have a chance to steal one here. And then, you know, red flags happen throughout the game. The guy that has a 7.7 ERA who's been roughed up the entire year, even your bats couldn't hit him. That's a red flag to me. Lugo throwing the same pitch three times in a row that all leave the yard. It's like, dude, stop trying to sneak 92 in. They're hitting it.
Like 92 is a cookie for a major leaguer, man. They better have darting all over the place.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I think that's kind of like,
well, fire the pitching coach then too.
Oh, not Brian Sweeney. Brian Sweeney's a dog, man. That guy
is he? I don't know.
Look what he did last year.
We want the hitting coach fired. We might as well fire the pitching coach too, right?
And I think the other thing too is that it's just like, there is clearly a funk going on in that lineup. Like, to have one hit against that guy last night in Carrasco that just, like, wasn't there all in the early part of the season, it's a little bit of a concern. Now, again, where I can give you green flags, this seemingly happens to the Royals every year. Like, they always seem to have early season flows with the bats, and then all of a sudden they start getting in their rhythm and starts to pick up and everything's there. The other thing I will tell you is that it was only solo runs, and it was only four.
So that's where the offense has just got to be better. Like, your offense never gave you a chance last night outside of the young man who wears number 7.
Yeah, and the good news is, though, you look around the standings in all the American League right now, there's only one team with 10 wins. Obviously, it's in our division with the Tigers, but there's nobody that's running away with anything right now. The Yankees sit at first place at 9-7. The Angels are in first place. Which is a laugher, sitting at 9-6 right now. So, like there's only one 10-win team. Nobody's winning a lot of games. There's a lot of 500 teams right now. This is early season baseball. And I think more and more people are paying attention, I think, to some of these early season games outside of opening day. It's because where the team was last year. And there seems to be this fear among Royals fans that we're always going to go and revert back to where we were from, like, I don't know, 1996 to 2010, 2012, right in that era, where it's always going to be 90 to 100 loss seasons. And I think there is so much fear, and rightfully so, and scar tissue built up for a lot of fans because of the way it's been here in Kansas City, that people are so afraid that it's going to revert back there. So there's panic time that sets in early on in the season, and there shouldn't be. Like, so I had a friend over last night. We were having a conversation about, you know, this ball club, and he said to me, "What do people think of JJ?" And I'm like, "Well, they made the playoffs really in their first year with JJ as the GM of this team. People like him. I think he's doing an unbelievable job, you know, with this ball club." He's like, "All right, cool, move on." You know, like, and that's kind of where it is. Like, if you were on the bandwagon at the end of last season and felt good about where this team was going, you should still feel that way. You should still feel that they're a good organization and they're a good ball club and they're going to try to get these things better. You shouldn't have that fear for those that do, and you can sense it by just talking to people. I'm not even going to bring social media into it because they're the doomsdayers of everything, but just talking to people. People got that in the back of their mind that, last year was nice, but we're more of the 100 to 90 loss team that we've seen in years past. And I just don't think that's the right attitude to have, at least for me, because John Sherman has shown he's not that kind of owner, too.
I think the other thing, too, is that the text line makes a good point that seeing people like up in arms over, you know, game, what, 16 of the season?
9-8, 17, yeah.
17 games, yeah. So, like, it's, you know, yeah, like, you have people that are upset because they're invested. I think, too, this is kind of the cross you are willing to bear if you're a Royals team, because you're the ones that came out and said, "We're a playoff team."
That's right.
Right,
playoff team. And you're right to continue to go back to that, Dusty. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
I mean, you called your shot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, fortunately, you know, for Babe Ruth, he called his shot and, you know, knocked one out of the park, lived up to his expectations. The Royals said, "Hey, we're a playoff team." Okay, well, at some point, you got to start acting like one, because the last three series you played are against playoff teams. Mm-hmm. I know Cleveland's not there yet, but they were there last year.
They're heady in the standings, though.
Yeah, right. You're playing the Yankees right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I heard the stat last night that I think the Royals and the Yankees in the ALDS, the Royals lost a series by a combined like 4 or 5 runs. Mm-hmm. They were still better than you. And, you know, you're going to continue to have teams, you know, think they can push you around. Class A, for an example.
Right.
Cleveland, for example. Because you're not doing anything to prove that you are that playoff team. And right now, when you have a 3 as an average for runs and, you know, 15 other ball clubs are averaging almost 2 runs more than you, like, it's not to the narrative that everybody's offense stinks. It's that there's like 15 teams that have a good offense, or at least a solid MLB offense right now, and there's 15 that don't. And unfortunately right now, the Royals are in that 15 that don't. And if you're a playoff team, those 15 that don't become playoff teams.
Yeah, and my friend asked me last night, he goes, "Do you think this is a playoff team?" He goes, "What do you really think of this Royals team?" And I'm like, "Ask me after the weekend." And he starts laughing. He goes, "Why?" I go, "Well, you got a series with the Yankees and mm-hmm. you got a series with the Tigers. Ask me on Monday morning how I'm feeling about the Royals." And
I think that's totally fair.
Right. I mean, I don't have a feel. They're a 500 ball club right now. They're like everybody else in Major League Baseball. It's April 15th. You can't truly have a feel, you know, about a baseball team for a good portion of the season. You know, it's 40 games to figure out who you are. Mm-hmm. It's 40 games to figure out what you're going to need. And then you play out the rest of those games. You play out the rest of the 80 games and see where you are. So we're 17 games into, we're not even halfway in that 40, you know, game mark where baseball teams determine, okay, this is kind of who we are. We can kind of get a feel for it. But, you know, after this weekend, you have faced Cleveland, you have faced New York, you have faced Detroit. On Monday morning, on Sunday afternoon, when that game's over, I think we'll have a better feel of where this Royals team are. Is it going to be full-bore NFL draft, or are we going to have some baseball conversation that's going to take place? Because quite honestly, you've got to earn that conversation. And if they go out and they stub their toe in Detroit and they stub their toe in New York and they come back and they're like four games under 500, I think a lot of people are going to dissipate away from the Royals and focus more kind of on the draft and OTAs, you know, how football kind of gets the thing going. And they're going to have to win those fans back. And so if you want to win those fans back and be that center of attention and be that playoff team, this is the time of year right now with these good teams to go show who you are, because you can beat up on Colorado. You can beat up on, you know, the White Sox. You can beat up on the Twins. But when you face the teams that you look at as your peers and teams that you're kind of chasing for that, you know, right to win the division and all that kind of stuff, you got to take care of business. And if you don't take care of business against the Yankees and Tigers, then you're probably in that secondary category of it may not be a playoff season this year. And that's okay. Work out every year.
No doubt. We will have a special guest in studio starting at 7 o'clock, so you'll want to stay tuned for that, because the show will go completely off the rails. I can promise you that.
And may never get back on either.
I don't think it will. And then also, coming up on the other side, I think last night stings a little bit more because of the opponent. Why do you hate the Yankees? 913-586-7965. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball.
Rocking the tunes this morning, Mac. Way to go.
This is the Groove Tenders. I hate this guy.
Why do you hate Steve Stewart?
No, I love Steve. I hate to be this guy, but I would much have rather lost last night's game 4-0 if Aaron Judge hit a grand slam than to watch Jazz Chisholm hit a home run.
Hit a home run, yeah.
There's just not many athletes, and that's why I love sports, that I hate more. Now, I don't hate him as a person. I just hate him for the athlete and the Yankee that he has become. Because in Florida, Jazz Chisholm, I didn't care. And then of all people, it's just like, that's the guy. That guy has to hit one. And then the floodgates are open.
Yeah, I liked him when he was in Miami. We did our baseball trip a few years ago when he was playing. And I texted somebody with the Royals at the time. And I said, you guys need to go get Jazz Chisholm. He'd be a nice addition to the ball club. And nobody went out and got Jazz Chisholm because he was in Miami. And then, you know, obviously the Yankees get whoever the Yankees want when it's all said and done, except for the Dodgers in this day and age. But he's the perfect heel. He needs to embrace it more. He needs to be that guy that embraces the hate around Major League Baseball, because that's good for the sport. You know, like the New England Patriots were back in the day. You hated the New England Patriots, or you loved the New England Patriots. Jazz needs to be that guy. I don't know if baseball has enough, if you will, cachet across the country for if somebody to be that hated guy, you know, in Major League Baseball, but Jazz sure as hell can embrace it. That little dance before he touched home plate last night, if I was Salvi, I'd have popped the dude, man. Like, what are we doing here, right? Like, pop that guy. Let's go.
Yeah. The little Euro step celebration. What do you see when Fernando Tatis hits home run? He goes to third base. So that's what's great. Like, I don't hate Fernando Tatis.
Yeah.
Plays in San Diego. Irrelevant.
But he's not.
Oh, he's that guy.
He's not. For Jazz Chisholm, though, Jazz runs his mouth, tried to fight at second base. Fernando Tatis just plays the game and dominates. Right. You know?
And he's much better, so it's easier to see somebody kind of get away with the flashiness. But, like, I was talking to you guys about this yesterday, like, our post show. And I'm like, why do you think people hate the Yankees?
Because their grandfather hated them from the 70s when they lost the games. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. So why don't people hate the Dodgers?
Because we've never played the Dodgers in those series. I mean, and look, the Dodgers are the kind of the new kid on the block. The Yankees are, you know, that kid that's been there forever, you know, that everybody always has hated. And you're told to hate the Yankees, even though they haven't won a title since 2009. And quite frankly, the Royals haven't been really relevant in the era that the Yankees were good in to even have any sort of rivalry. And that's why sometimes I wonder, I'm like, you hate the Yankees because, you know, Nettles back in the 80s and 70s punching George Brett, and you hate them because of Goose Gossage and all of that kind of stuff. And most people will say, yeah, but the Royals-Yankee rivalry getting renewed last year was awesome. It was great. But that was the first time in 40-some years, almost 50 years, that the games meant anything between the Royals and Yankees.
Yeah, I think I kind of just don't like the Yankees because, I don't know, obviously as a kid growing up in the 90s, they were like what the Dodgers are doing today. They just bought everybody, right? Like,
Giambi wins MVP in Oakland, and then all of a sudden he's playing first base for the Yankees because Tino's done.
Right.
You know, A-Rod, of all teams, like, had to go to the Yankees. Made him hate me that much more.
Do you realize, like, Bobby Witt's making $100 million more than A-Rod made in his contract with the Yankees when he signed that? That was such a big deal.
And already outplaying him.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And, you know, you see, like, guys like Roger Clemens go there, Andy Pettit. Then you have the steroid era, and, like, two of those guys, three of those guys, four of those guys are on that team. So it just kind of was annoying. But I also think the reason that I don't like the Yankees is kind of the same way that, like, people tend to hate teams that have been good for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And that is, like, their snobby presence there. And look, there's many teams that have this. And I think the Jayhawks are one of them. Like, oh, you got to go to a game in Allen. They do this video. They have, and again, I'm not dogging it. It's your thing. But, like, that's why people tend to do it. Like, to me, people in the EPL, at least not for the last 5 to 7 to maybe 10 years, it was Manchester United.
Oh, God, yeah.
All their traditions, all their stuff. Like, even Rory McIlroy's like, maybe they'll let me go to a game in Old Trafford with a green jacket on to turn things around. Since they got rid of, or since Sir Alex Ferguson, like, sat down, they've never been the same team since. And there's people that are just like, yeah, it's like their songs, it's their chants, it's their demeanor. Like, the Red Devils, we're better than you. The Yankees, we've got Monument Park. We had Babe Ruth. We have the beautiful state. God, it's a beautiful stadium. But, like, all this stuff. And then you hear the crowds always chant everybody's name in right field until they get acknowledged. And then they're playing, like, some weird Darth Vader sounder when there's, like, a 1-2 count that I noticed last night. And I think that's more why there's hatred. And, like, I always steal this from Danny Parkins because I thought it
sounds
it was
like
great.
The same thing they play on third downs at Arrowhead, actually, yeah. Is what it is when there's two strikes. It's that
it's like a Darth Vader breathing.
No, it's the horn from, like, a lighthouse that they play on third down. Like,
I just kept hearing.
Yeah, it's that sound. They play that on
Wagyu's on Thursdays. Bob.
Yeah, yeah, but they play that sound on that was really good. Yeah, maybe we should use that as the cow sound now, right?
Yeah, that's it.
But they play that on third downs at Arrowhead. They play that with two strikes at Yankee Stadium. So it's that same sounder.
Yeah,
it's the exact same sounder.
And I think that, like, because, man, I don't know. Because, like, we were talking about the Chiefs, too. Like, we're like, do people hate the Chiefs? And, like, Max, like, well, in the last, like, 10 years, yes. But longevity, no. But, like, there is this thing that, like, comes with winning consistently, like, throughout time. And I think, you know, a lot of people hate Duke, right?
Because it's jealousy is what it is.
And it's also, like, deserving. Like, I don't know, man. It's just, for me, like, you hate in school, like, you hate the guy that's popular because he's just genetically blessed. You're like, how come I don't have a square jaw with a little butthole on my chin with a nice smile who gets the nice hot chick?
Well, you can go into therapy like Tom did and get that taken care of.
Right. And so, like, I think that's kind of how I see, like, the hatred for the Yankees. And I think the text line says it, too. He's like, I don't like the Yankees because of their fans. They act like they deserve everything. And the first in my family to watch baseball, so I didn't have that connection in the past with the Royals. But they've grown to see that and watch it develop. And I think that's kind of the way it is. Like, you look at their park's small, right? They have a bunch of offensive numbers. Every year they're like one or the top three in offense. Like, we celebrate, like, Aaron Judge, and it's like, well, what has he actually accomplished? It's like all this sort of stuff other than MVPs. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, again, like, people say, I hate the Yankees because they can buy everyone so their fans act snooty and they have 27 World Series wins. And that's fine because, like, we hated the Patriots. But we hate the Patriots because we knew they cheated.
They cheated.
We had reason to know why. The Yankees, it's like, for years, it was like, oh, if they want somebody, they'll just go buy them, which they can still do. And again, that's not a Yankee problem.
That's a baseball
problem.
Yeah.
But they are that team that is, like, an outlier where they can just go spend and buy, and they've done it, and 27 times they've been successful, more than, like, any other franchise in baseball, it seems. But, like, I think the reason you hate them is because of all the stuff that comes with the team. Not necessarily the players. You begin to hate the players because they wear the pinstripes. Like, I don't like Jazz Chisholm because it's like when he put that on, he became like Tom Hardy in Venom. It just, like, took over him, and it's like this Yankee evilness, like, spews out. Plus, there is the value of envious. Like, I am envious that, like, my team in Kansas City has to, like, hope and pray that it works out for MJ Melendez, where if, like, he's in New York, he's gone, and they're going to find somebody else and fixing the problem. So I envy that as well, which creates that anger.
But that anger shouldn't be a Yankee anger. That's a baseball anger, and the Yankees are the product of baseball allowing the system to be where it is. where certain teams can go out and buy their franchises. Now, I will say this about the Yankees and Dodgers. They've done a really nice job of developing their own talent. The Dodgers, I think, have the third best minor league system right now in Major League Baseball. They have developed homegrown talent. All those guys on the Yankees, when they were good back in the day, the core of that team, Pettit, Mariano, Posada, Bernie Williams, Derek Jeter, those are all homegrown guys. Now, did they have the means to be able to sign those guys and not get to year six, you know, like Eric Hosmer and company did, and everybody had to dissipate and go away, you know, to another organization? Sure, they do have that wherewithal. But again, that's not the Yankees. That's the system, and that's the Yankees. I hate saying the term taking advantage of the system, but using the system for what it is. And that's a baseball thing. And until baseball changes that, teams are going to continue to do what they need to do, what they feel that they need to do to win, even if that means, you know, running over everybody else in their way, which is, you know, the rest of Major League Baseball. You got the Dodgers, you got the Cubs, you got the Yankees, you got the Boston Red Sox, you got a couple of these big spenders, and then it's everybody else in Major League Baseball. And so the Yankees have just done a nice job of taking advantage of this situation, and they figured it out. They said, okay, this is the way it's going to be. Fine. We've got the means. We've got the ability to do it. Think of it like this. It's like a parent. You know, your dad is the president of, I'm just going to throw out IBM for lack of a better company. Nice. And somebody else's dad is not that job. Well, the kid whose father's the president of IBM is probably going to be offered and afforded different opportunities than the kid whose father's not the president of IBM. And that's called life. That's a meritocracy. I mean, that's kind of the way it works. Do we like it for baseball? No, we don't like it for baseball. But that's the way baseball is right now. And until baseball is willing to change the way that they go about business and the way that they operate, why should the Yankees? Why should the Dodgers? Why should the Mets? Why should the Red Sox? Why should any of those teams say, hey, I'm able to provide nice vacations, nice things, good stuff for my kids. Why should I stop doing that because the guy down the street is not able to do that? Until we equal the system, then that's just the way it's going to be. And so the Yankees are afforded a luxury because of where they are and their lot in life. But Major League Baseball has an opportunity to fix it, but it doesn't feel like they're interested in fixing that and making it even across the board. And the Players Association is definitely not interested in fixing that system and making it even across the board. Because I maintain, if you have a salary cap and a salary floor, more guys are going to get paid than just a couple of guys that are getting paid by the Yankees or Dodgers. But the Players Association doesn't see that way, and that's why we're staring down a work stoppage in 2027, which more information came out on that with the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. contract. He's still going to get paid in 2027 because it's a bonus, not a salary.
Smart man.
And it's a very smart man to do it that way. Great agent. But that just shows you more and more there may be a major work stoppage. Right. And if there's a work stoppage, then the game really needs to be fixed. And I maintain if there's a work stoppage and the game is fixed, like, and it becomes like the NFL, fans will flock back to baseball.
Somebody says, don't worry, Dusty, relax. Chisholm will probably go 0-4 tonight, 0-4 tonight with three strikeouts. I hope.
He might.
Again, I'm terrified of walking that ballpark tonight. And I think that's okay to be that concerned.
It's fine.
I mean, again, like, I'm just going off what I've seen. But, you know,
get him to hit it to the gaps, though, in center field. Center field's 408 at Yankee Stadium. And it's 410 at you know, here. Everybody thinks Yankee Stadium's a small ballpark. I think it's like 375 or 385 to the alleys. It's 335 down the left field line, and it's 314 down the right field line. So, yeah, the Yankees do have an advantage. Don't let them pull the ball.
Yeah. Or.
Or lefties.
Worry about your own team learning how to hit the ball before you worry about the other team hitting the ball.
Yeah, there is that too. Yeah.
You know, like, you can only control what you can control.
And this may be now a situation where you're in a funk after 17 games from an offensive standpoint, which, again, here we are, right? Maybe this is where Q comes into play and say, all right, we're going to start, you know, starting runners. We're going to bunt. We're going to hit and run. We're going to go the opposite way. You know, at times they let analytics, you know, dictate a lot of stuff. This is sometimes maybe you got to go on feel and you can't worry about what, you know, Harvard nerd is saying, and you got to go out there and lay down the bunt. You got to go down there and move the runners. You got to hit behind the guy, play old school type of baseball to try to get your offense jump-started a little bit. And instead of going up there and playing for these three true outcomes, which drive me absolutely nuts, which is a home run, a walk, and a strikeout, which I still don't understand, go out there and sacrifice yourself. Go out there and bunt. Go out there and move a runner. Go out there and try to steal a run early on in these games. You got good, you know, good guy at the top of your lineup. Maybe he leads off with a bunt tonight, drags one down the first baseline, gets on base. Now you got Bobby coming up, steal second. Bobby smacks one the opposite way. You're up 1-0. Like, you've got maybe to start doing some of that kind of stuff to try to break them out of their funk. Because if you go up there and you can continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, well, that's the definition of insanity. Mm. You can't continue to do that. So maybe this is where Q comes into play a little bit and says, here's what we're going to do tonight, guys. We're going to try to manufacture runs. We're going to try to get things started to get everybody out of their funk. And maybe when you send MJ Melendez up there, maybe he bunts. And I don't want to hear he's not a good bunter. You're a Major League Baseball player. If you can't bunt, go sell sandwiches.
Hopefully he can make contact with the bunt.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah. The task does not get any easier tonight. Max Fried on the mound, 2-0, carries a sub-2 ERA going up against Michael Walker.
He's got 11 pitches, Max Fried.
Well, if he if the game goes like it did last night, I'm going to be dusty fried by the time we get to the seventh inning, because that was just that was painful to watch last night. We compared 09 to Cole Reagan's, which is Zach Greinke's year, which if the offense continues like this, you will see that because the Royals will win every fifth day. and if they lose, it'll be 1-0. But this was the conversation we had with Vern yesterday about Reagan's being the best trade of all time for the Royals.
The Kane and Eske deal, number one.
In history of the franchise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I put that number one. I think you have to go... I think you have to go Wade Davis, James Shields 2, maybe Hal McRae 3, Amos Otis 4, and then Cole Reagans in the 5 spot, just because those top 4 all have pennants or world titles.
So 5th on the list of Vern.
I've been wrestling with this one for a while.
But the end of that audio, if you missed, you can check out the podcast page. He does say that Reagans could leapfrog 2 or 3 spots, depending on where this team ends up and how Reagans' career ends up in Kansas City. But yeah, you said you've been mind wrestling this thought.
Yeah, the Hal and Amos ones, I totally understand though those and why they're in there and the importance and the significance the significance of those two players in Royals history. The Kane Eske trade set up the entire 14-15 run. Without that trade, we don't win. We don't even get to the playoffs, right? Wade Davis, obviously, that became a huge trade. We're not in the postseason. We're not revitalizing this franchise without those trades. Those were baller moves by Dayton and company back in the day. The Reagans one, baller move as well. Yeah, the baller move really in all of that was, you know, signing Aroldis Chapman, knowing that you were going to trade him, being upfront and honest with him and saying, hey, you know, we're not going to be very good this year. We're bringing you in to try to trade you for somebody else. We'll trade you to a contender. Lo and behold, you got Cole Reagans in return. There are a lot of trades that have occurred in Royals history, as we talked about yesterday, that were bad for the Royals. The Damon, the Dye, the Beltran, you know, the David Cone trade 1 and 2. All not good for the Royals at those point in time. There's only one trade, though, Dusty, that he left out that I'm thinking, maybe it could be on that list. Do you know which one I'm thinking of?
J.P. Howe for Joey Gathright.
No, but that's a good one. I do like that trade. Ben Zobrist. The Ben Zobrist trade is not on there.
Did you win the World Series without
him? I don't think so. I really don't. Do you think we win it without Ben Zobrist? I don't think we do
either.
Because
he's what you missed in 14, and you replaced it in 15, and everything just was set.
He was the perfect addition
to
this team.
And don't show me that lineup, because I will lose my control, because that lineup is just, to this day, my favorite Royals lineup.
It was so much fun, because it was just one after another, after another, after another, after another, right? It wasn't a bunch of big home run hitters. It wasn't a bunch of MVPs and All-Stars.
Line-moving guys.
It was just line-moving guys. You need a single, fine. Let's get a base hit. You need a double, fine. Haas, gap one. You know, Moose, do something fun. You know, like, you had those guys every night. It was a professional at bat. Obviously, the game has changed over the last 10 years, where striking out is rewarded with ribbons and medals. I just think the Ben Zobrist trade probably has to be in there some way, somehow. And I don't know which one you replace. And maybe it is Cole Reagans right now. Maybe Cole Reagans is 6th on that list, and Ben Zobrist is 5, because Ben Zobrist led you to a world championship and Reagans hasn't done that yet. And there's still plenty of time for Reagans to move up that list. So would anybody argue Ben Zobrist being ahead of Cole Reagans on that list?
Yeah, because of the outcome and like what it was. I mean, like, you created a World Series champion with that move for your franchise and your team. So, I mean, it's definitely up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 100%. Like,
because Vern even said those other guys led to pennants, right?
Right.
Ben Zobrist led to a pennant as well.
Yeah,
and a championship.
I kind of always go back to that J.P. Howell trade, because I remember he was like, you know, the guy out of Texas, supposed to be like a future, and then like we got Joey Gathright. I was like, Joey Gathright? This guy that's like fast and agile and can move and play defense? oh, so that was the foreshadowing of what was to come.
Yeah, right.
It's like all we had known about Joey Gather at the time is that he jumped over a moving car.
He jumped over a car.
And then he came to Kansas City, and like Dayton's like, yeah, we're just trying to build a solid foundation of speed and defense. Well, you need people to get on base for the speed to be an outcome. That's, I think, the other thing that's the red flag is like a lot of people say, yeah, you can bunt, but nobody's on base. Yeah, your top guys aren't hitting. Nobody's hitting except Bobby Witt Jr.
Exactly.
That's it. Michael Garcia, I'll give him the credit of that. But like I'm like you. Like you said, this is where Q comes into play. When your offense is this bad, you either got to burn some sage, you know, sacrifice a cricket, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or what you do is, again, I don't know.
Or just jumble the lineup. Just throw names out of a hat.
Put it in a Yahtzee container and throw it out. And then everyone you flip up is like, obviously, just leave Bobby Witt at two. And then everybody else is just shuffled. I don't care if Vinny Pasquantino leads off.
Yeah, I don't either.
Maybe it's a way to do it.
Yeah,
so.
But that would be kind of funny. How did you come up with the lineup? And they get mad. Yeah. We don't just draw this stuff out of a hat. Well, maybe you should. Try it. Why not? What the hell?
Yeah, you got to get out of this funk, man. That's for sure. Coming up on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty, we get into our hot corner / tough Tuesday. It's tough for everybody, but Bob and Mac on Tuesdays must be nice.
It is Tuesday.
I just want to win, Jen. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City sports.
I just want to win, Jen.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Straight out the trap, dude. New music, Mac. Gang, gang, baby.
What it do?
Light it up. 647. Who gives a rip, dude? Oh,
this is hot.
This is like the Yaya Twins.
Did somebody just drop this track?
That's exactly right. Someone just laid down this sick beat for us.
Is this Darren Waller's new bit? You know, he raps now.
You know what we should now? He was doing that about a year ago.
He's elevated.
Now
he's staying outside of Allegiant Stadium.
Yep, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, God.
They can't hold me, dog.
Yeah, because you don't play.
What do you remember from his era with the Giants?
Oh,
nothing.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know that he got a lot. Did he get a lot of money?
Yeah.
I don't
remember.
The fantasy football hype was through the roof.
Oh, he's found it, man. Oh, yeah.
Did he play a game?
Did he play more games than Evan Engram as a Giant?
Ooh, no.
As I say, like, Engram missed like a year and a half. But his rookie year. I think he played most of the season. Yeah, Darren Waller, man. He was supposed to ball out for the Giants.
Yeah, he did not. No.
And then he found out that he could be a better rapper than a tight end.
Yeah, which is fine. Go do your thing. I have no ill will towards that. Yeah, you want to you do you, man. Who the hell's going to get in your way? But if we're looking for new music, I'm sure we can, you know, get the old number fives to create us a new
anything.
Just something, please guys. Seriously.
Help me.
We're in this music snag again here.
Or we could do nice things. And if you're a up and coming young talent or talent in Kansas City and you want your music to be played, hey,
hit us up.
It's not, as long as it's not licensed.
Yeah, as long as it's not licensed, we'll play.
You
guys
need to talk to Columbia Records about, oh, okay, well, we can't have you. You're too much for a pay
grade. Exactly. Sorry.
Oh, boy. All right. So, could say it's a tough Tuesday for Seth Lugo, but he doesn't make the list of our names on this list. So, we can dive into our hot corner on a Tuesday, Mr. Fesco.
Yeah, I'm going to get started. I'm actually going to change
up. Oh, okay.
But I will go with Kevin Durant because, again, this guy looking to be traded. I mean, come on.
Again?
Now, again, like, Kevin Durant has one goal in mind, play for every team in the NBA, right? And
so
then look around
Ricky
and go.
Anderson?
Ricky only played for the A's and Yankees. Did he play for anybody else?
Are you serious?
Ricky Henderson?
Yeah. Dude, it's like 8-19.
No, it's not. It is absolutely not 8 or 9 teams. I know him as an A and a Yankee. I don't know Ricky Henderson on any other team than that. Did he have a hot cup of coffee with the Dodgers maybe at the end?
Yeah, it's a few teams for sure.
Is it?
Yeah, the Dodgers, Anaheim. These are all 1 year.
Okay.
Toronto, Boston.
God, he played on
Seattle.
All those teams?
He went to the Mets, the Padres.
Ricky Henderson?
That's a...
Good Lord.
And then, of course, the Yankees.
So he played for 10 different MLB teams.
I had no idea he played for that.
I thought you were trolling me for a second. I'm like, dude, this is like pretty known that he played for everybody.
I had no idea Ricky Henderson played for that many teams.
A lot of cups of coffee.
God bless, man. Like, did he have, I mean, jeez.
R.I.P., dude.
Wow. I had no idea he played for that many teams.
Yeah, five of those teams were for one
year.
Still.
Yeah. But
still
Yeah, wow. Still there. It counts. Obviously,
he was the first Harrison Bader.
Yeah, like, how did I not know that? Like, I'm pissed at myself for not knowing that kind of information. But,
journeyman.
But he wasn't, you know? He was a hell of a base stealer.
Yeah.
My hot corner this week goes to the city of KC Mo. They released a letter on Monday. I don't know if you guys saw this one. Probably not, because I just did. The letters, leaders from the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce have released a letter. Quote, all of our major league franchises are more than teams. They fuel our economy, strengthen our community, and are a beloved part of the region's identity. Time remains our collective enemy in this process. Losing these franchises would erase decades of progress and pride. Now is the time for leaders, the teams, and the community to unite as partners, identify a solution, and maintain our region's momentum, securing our region's future as a premier sports destination for generations to come. It is, regardless of what side of the state line they're on. This is a stupid statement by Kansas City to kind of put that out there, because these teams aren't leaving the region. If they go anywhere, it's across the state line to Kansas. But again, it's fear-mongering by the media, because it says the Kansas City business and civic organizations are calling on state and local leaders to act quickly to ensure that the Chiefs and Royals remain in the region. Overland Park, KCK, that's the region, folks. That's the region, okay? That's all that matters, is that they remain in the region. What we're looking at is that these guys are trying to keep them, obviously, on the KC Mo side because of the financial impact, and I appreciate that. But again, this is the second group that has now said time remains our collective enemy in the process, going back to that 3D Holdings, who said time is ticking against us for the downtown project. So we'll see where all this ends up.
I heard 119th and Nall is a possibility.
It is it's a big pot. It's the best financial deal the Royals are going to get, and that is a fact. If they take that deal, great. If they don't, that's fine too. But the best financial deal that the Royals are going to get is at 119th and Nall from the state of Kansas.
Wake me up when stadiums end. Mac, who's your tough Tuesday hot corner?
Warriors lost to the Clippers last game of the season on Sunday. Wouldn't have been able to watch it because it was right during the Masters.
And Jimmy Butler got hurt.
Yeah, and Jimmy Butler got hurt, and he couldn't guard Kawhi Leonard. So they lost to the Clippers. He could not guard
the hand,
Kawhi Leonard.
The claw.
Yeah. So now the Warriors in the play-in game, they'll have to beat the Grizzlies. I believe that's tonight to get the seventh seed and to play the Houston Rockets, one of the youngest, hottest teams in the league. So that's tough, man. That sucks.
Wake me up when the NBA ends.
See you in July.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be sleeping.
Yep. Got seven series, every single series.
Gotta
watch the Celtics and Hawks play five games for a gentleman's sweep.
Please.
Seven games.
How many gentlemen's sweeps do we get in the first round of the NBA? Three?
Eight series. I'd say the over-under.
Oklahoma will give one. Boston will give one.
You don't want to let anybody win a game to give them any sort of sense that they can win something.
NBA is like the king of gentlemen's sweeps.
Gentlemen's sweeps huge.
Then just go to five games for this first round.
I agree.
Or three.
It used to be. Yeah. Three would be fine, too. Or a one and done. Play your ass off for a series, for a game.
Yeah, I think
five
games
is great.
See
who really wants it. Why does everything have to be a series? Why can't we just do the best of one in that first round?
Yeah, just make Breaking Bad one episode.
Yeah.
Do it in 45 minutes. That'd be the most intense one.
But, I mean, the NFL does it with one game.
Hey, the play-ins tonight, it's one game.
It's one game. But the loser still gets another opportunity.
If you're the 7 or 8 seed.
Yeah.
Yes. If you're the 9 or 10, see
you. Yeah, and if you play on the road and you're wearing your alternate jerseys and it's
in the court, 60-degree
weather. The game is sold out and it's south of the Mason-Dixon line, west of the Mississippi, and in Texas, then you get another opportunity.
Yeah, more similar. Nikola Jokic and his brother, or 1999 Royals baseball stats during a Wednesday getaway game in the NBA playoffs. Mike DeFelice is 8-for-19 in day games when the sun is high at its peak.
That is a baseball stat. I'll take anybody 8-for-19 at this point in time, though. I don't care where they are.
Give me Rockets over Lakers. You don't say that. You don't say that. My tough Tuesday is Tanner Houck. I mean, sometimes, man, you have a tough day at the office, man. You know, you get here and, you know, your work has dissipated throughout the week, or, you know, everybody just kind of seems like they're against you. Tanner Houck last night, man. God, dog. This man, I hope for whatever sake he needs to get over a bad day he had at 10 hits last night, 12 runs, 11 of them earned, 2 home runs allowed, and 2 in the third innings.
Well, at least they left him in there.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
I would have Vin Mazzaro'd that thing up and said, sorry, sir, you're pitching the rest of the game.
That's a tough stat line to look at. That's like getting on the scale Monday morning. Like, I gained 8 pounds over Saturday and Sunday.
You never look at the scale on Monday. You wait till Wednesday.
Friday. Friday's weigh-in day. But yeah, 2 1/3 innings last night for Tanner Houck in Boston. They lost 16-1 to the Rays.
Sad for him. Yeah.
Two homers allowed, 11 earned runs, 12 runs total, and 10 hits.
Worst outing by a Red Sox pitcher in more than 60 years.
Brutal, dude. Like, Babe Ruth was still on the team when this was this bad. I kid. But like, that's one of those things where it's like, you know, hopefully like in a week from now or 2 weeks from now, they can be like, hey, Tanner, at least you're not paying the Rays. Oh, great. But hey, good game tonight. Seven innings, you know, three hits, whatever. Yeah. But like, good hell, that's a line. Somebody said on Twitter he pulled a triple-double last night.
Damn, that's actually
10
crazy.
Hits, 12 runs, and 11 earned, man. Wow. Like, you just got to, man, short-term memory loss, I guess, is the best one.
That's not good. Yeah, you got to do better than that.
Yeah, text line, that guy had a triple-double. Damn right he did.
Yeah.
Poor Boston. Oh. Who's like more excusably to like, Red Sox or Padres? They're essentially the same team doing what the team that's always ahead of them doing the same thing that they're doing.
I love the Padres.
But they're the same as the Dodgers. Like, they literally buy their entire roster. But we like them because they're not LA. Whereas, like, outside of New York, people rooted for Boston. But you're like, dude, Boston paid for everybody, too.
Yeah,
like,
it's a good comparison. It really is. But the Padres, for me, I love everything about the Padres. I love the uniforms. I love the players. I love their announcers. Stadium. I love their stadium. I love their atmosphere. There's nothing more fun than watching a Padres game in baseball. They just bring the fun, and it's so awesome to see these fans and the way that they're loving it up. It's their only pro franchise. They've rallied around it. That baseball team said, all right, fine, the NFL left. Let's take advantage of this. Let's put the best product out there on the field. Like, I mean, I love watching the Padres play. They're a blast to watch.
We love watching Patrick Mahomes play, and on the other side, we compare his career to a book that is yet to be finished. Kind of like George R.R. Martin, right? Get to it, George. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sports. Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.